time.
It's time for the OTH Daily Podcast.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Good morning, and welcome to the OTH Daily Podcast. I'm your host, the man behind the mic, Christian S. Rao. We have a great episode for you today, January 23rd, 2020. OTH basketball director Darren Jeans will be on the show today to discuss everything basketball. It's going to be a great episode. Without further ado, let's get started.
Gonna start today.
Darren Jeans is the basketball director for OTH. You can find him on Twitter at Two Words For You. Hey Darren, how you doing? And welcome back to the OTH Daily Podcast. It's good to have you back.
Thank you for having me, as always. It's a pleasure to be here. It will always be a pleasure to be here.
All right. You can find Darren on Twitter at Two Words For You. And I got to ask you right off the bat, and I know it might be a tough question, a tough thing for you to talk about, or maybe you got a lot to say. So I have to ask, what happened to the Lakers this week? That loss against the Celtics? Yeah, it was a kind of a blowout. But first of all, I got to know, why the uproar? I know that it was a loss against Boston. It's a big rivalry, but what happened in general?
Good question. It's the Lakers, whenever you beat the Lakers, every loss the Lakers have had, it's who do they need? What do they need to change? What needs to be upgraded? That just comes with the territory of being the Los Angeles Lakers. And I mean that, I'm not even bragging. That's just how it is. It's like the Yankees, when the Yankees lose, the media goes crazy. They need hitting. They need pitching. It's after every game. But specifically what happened in that game, I think Boston just wanted it more. I think Boston came out and they wanted that win more. And you can tell with the Lakers, that can mentally drain you when night in and night out you're playing against a team that genuinely wants to beat you every single night. Because the coaches and the execs are telling their players, look, beating the Lakers is almost like a season changing thing. Boston came in on losing, the last 8 out of 10. Don't quote me on that. But this could be the start of a massive run that they need, especially in a pretty strong Eastern Conference. They are a top 4 team, obviously, but I think it had more to do with the Celtics just wanting it more. And the fact that, of course, Anthony Davis missed 5 games. LeBron James mentioned he didn't do his usual routine because he went and saw Bronny play. I'm not going to criticize a man for going to see his kid play. Some people did. I'm not going to do that. That's your son. I absolutely understand.
Well, just like you said, the Lakers obviously lost this game, but they're still first in the West. And although they have lost to Boston yet again this season, is that something they need to worry about in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think so. I mean, you'll see the stat that's been passed around. They're 0-5 against Boston and the Clippers and the Bucks. You'll see that stat, which, if you're a Laker fan, it's a little concerning, obviously, because, you want to beat the Clippers and you want to beat Boston. Now, those two teams are your main rivals. So you want to beat those teams, obviously. If you follow LeBron James, LeBron James doesn't really care until the playoffs. That's what I'm hanging my hat on. I'm hanging my hat on the fact that, during the regular season, the Lakers have not beaten Milwaukee. They have not beaten Boston. They have not beaten the Clippers. Understood. Yet they're still first in the West. That's all I care about. And the second thing that I care about is come playoff time, if we do meet one of those teams, can we get it done in a 7-game series? I think the question you have to ask yourself is, looking at the Clippers, yes, they are a good team. They have a lot of pieces. But at the same time, when they're not playing the Lakers, they don't look like a good team. Against the Lakers, Kawhi is averaging like 40 points. So it's pretty clear he wants to win that game. But when they aren't playing the Lakers, they don't look like world beaters. They have very serious problems, including the fact that Kawhi and Paul George can't stay on the court at the same time. That's a problem. And come playoff time, it's all about rhythm. You know, you're playing the same team for at least a week, maybe 2 weeks straight. You got to have rhythm.
Here on a Thursday morning with Darren Jeans on the OTH Daily Podcast. But I'd like to finish up talking about this game real quick, Darren. And I'd like to talk about the Celtics. And I'd like to know what your thoughts. Do you think the Celtics are a real threat in the Eastern Conference? I know we have Milwaukee kind of running away with it. But how do you feel about Boston as we hit the All-Star break?
I think Boston is a title contender. I also have two tiers of title contenders. I have title contenders, teams like Boston, Houston, you could throw in maybe Indiana, teams like that, who, yeah, they could make the finals. Like I see it. It's possible. But then I have a top-tier title contender. Those are your Lakers, your Clippers, and your Bucks. That's it, you know? So, yeah, I think Boston can make it. But I also think Boston, first, they lack experience. They're led by a bunch of young, really good players. Jason Tatum, whom I saw at Duke, and I instantly loved him because his game is phenomenal. I love watching Jason Tatum. Plus, little nugget, he trains in the summer, in the offseason, with Kobe Bean Bryant. And as you guys know, Kobe Bean Bryant is the greatest human to ever walk this earth. So because he trains with Kobe Bean Bryant, that's an automatic plus for me. Even though he's a Celtic, I get it. It's fine. He is a really fun player to watch. But, yeah, I still think Boston is like one piece away from being in that top-tier title contender talk. And I think if they're able to maybe flip somebody, no one major, but if they're able to flip a few pieces, maybe a few draft picks for a solid point guard, backup point guard, something like that, then I think we can literally talk about them as a grade A top-tier title contender.
You heard it here, and we got it recorded on the podcast, so we can hold this against him later on if need be.
And you show up the trash for the Celtics.
Yeah, there he is. You can find him at 27 Celtics, one of our writers for OTH Basketball. But all right, so we talked about the Celtics, the Lakers rival, the other rival, obviously, the other LA team, the Clippers, and they're trying to not be the other LA team. They're trying to be the LA team this season, obviously getting Paul George, getting Kawhi Leonard. And the trade deadline is February 6th. Trade buzz happening. A lot of people are talking about the Clippers possibly making a move to try and jump and get as competitive as the Lakers and compete for that number one spot in the West. Do you see anything happening there? And do you see that able to happen? Do you see that happening once we hit February 6th?
Yeah, well, they definitely have pieces. You know, and I think their strongest piece right now will be Landry Schmidt. And the reason why I say that is because he had a really good year last year, but this year he's kind of fallen. Not, I wouldn't say, you know, off or he's bad, but because, I mean, obviously when you add two players like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, players like him, they're going to see less of the ball. They're going to see less playing time. I think if you're able to really spin it, you can convince, you know, someone that Landry is a good piece. And I think he is a good piece. Realistically, who can they go after? Obviously, they want Andre Iguodala. I think every contender wants Andre Iguodala, which kind of scares me because he hasn't played basketball in almost a year. Like, so why are we lining up to sign him? And yeah, I'm sure he's staying in shape, he's working out, but I mean he's here with me in Memphis doing nothing. Like, so I don't know why people are lining up to sign him because he hasn't played literally a ball in almost a year, but I get it. I think that's probably the most likely person they land, only because I strongly believe the Lakers will land Darren Collison, who will, you know, eventually come out of retirement, and I do think he will be a Laker, only because he fits perfectly. That's exactly what the Lakers need, a player like him. Rondo is holding them back, obviously, so if they can replace Rondo with Darren Collison, that's perfect. I know the Clippers are also in the running for him as well, but I don't see him going to the Clippers just because they're so guard heavy right now. You know, where will he play? I think right now the Clippers' number one target needs to be Andre Iguodala. Obviously, if you're a doc, you do your due diligence in acquiring about everyone. You know, everyone who's on the block. Derrick Rose, inquire about Drummond. I mean, you call everyone and see, hey, What are you asking for him? I don't think the Clippers will make a lot of changes to their team, only because they really haven't seen what their team can do full strength.
There's a lot of buzz going on over there at the top of the Western Conference. And, you know, as you said, Andre Drummond is possibly going to get traded. We believe that's going to happen. We're almost certain that we're going to see Kevin Love go somewhere else. But when we look at the Los Angeles Lakers, a player that has brought a lot of buzz, and we don't know if it's a good idea or not, whether the Lakers should trade them, is Kuzma. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Should Kuzma go? And if he does, what's it going to take? Or what are the Lakers going to look for in order to, you know, make that piece to run for the championship?
Yeah, I said last week that Kuzma should be on the block. And fast forward to 7 days later, here we are. I'll say the same thing. Kuzma should be on the block. I've seen enough. Kuzma is, and I said this last week again, and I'll say it again. Kuzma is the kind of player that needs to be on the court, even when he's playing poorly, in order to get his rhythm, which is fine. Like, that's totally fine. That's not a bad thing. But that doesn't fit the Lakers' style. That doesn't fit what they're trying to do right now. The Lakers don't have the luxury of letting Kuzma go 0-for-7 and then, oh, I got my groove, now I'm ready to go. Like, we don't have that luxury to watch you stink up the joint and then you start playing like an actual NBA player. We just don't have the luxury or really the time for that. He needs to go somewhere where he will get the ball a lot, so his rhythm will start to come to him quicker than it is right now in a Laker jersey. He's, you know, he's more worried about his hair and dating former Disney star Vanessa Hudgens than he is worried about, you know, being that sixth man off the bench. And so I'm still solidly sold. If the Lakers can get a good – they're going to sign a Darren Collison, so I think their guard play will be fine, because Darren Collison immediately fix your guard problem. But if you can flip Kyle Kuzma for someone like, you know, I don't know, Zach LaVine, you know, I know his contract is kind of heavy, and you may have to include someone like Danny Green to kind of make that money work. But I'm all for that. If you can flip Kuzma and Danny Green and maybe THT, that's our rookie, Horton is a who, then flip them. Flip all three of them for Zach LaVine. If that trade happens, I want full credit. Like, I want full credit for calling that trade, if that trade does happen, by the way. That is a perfect trade.
About 2 weeks away, February 6th. So we are definitely going to have to talk about it next week, because we'll be right in the thick of it. And just, you know, less than a month away, we're going to see NBA All-Star Weekend. We're going to hit the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, we know things really heat up. Playoff talks really begin. But let's actually talk about All-Star Weekend. The voting just ended a few days ago, and today is actually when the starters will be announced. Your thoughts on the East and West there? Obviously, on the West side, the Western Conference, there was some talks about maybe, you know, the headband wonder, Alex Caruso making it in. Is that something that you see still happening? And then your thoughts about, you know, what's your thoughts on the East? Or I'm sorry, the Western Conference first.
Okay, so I'll start the Western. Obviously, you're going to have your obvious picks. You're going to have your AD. You're going to have your LeBron, who should be captain because he will get the most votes. You have your Luka Doncic. You have James Harden. I think those guys are a lock, right? And then from there, it's kind of a okay. Well, and then of course you have Kawhi Leonard, right? I think Paul George will make it just off of his name. If I had to pick, I would not pick him as an all-star because I believe he's missed more games than he's actually played. So I don't see why he should get awarded an all-star bid. And same with Kawhi. He's also missed a lot of games. But he is Kawhi Leonard, so it's kind of hard to leave him off. When it comes to the bench, you know, you're looking at guys like Damian Lillard probably. And don't quote me on these picks. I'm just throwing them out. Because I have nothing in front of me, so I'm just throwing out names. I think Damian Lillard obviously should be one, even though their record is abysmal. They've lost everyone, and if you're criticizing the Trail Blazers, you know, you should make sure you mention that their team is completely obliterated. So, with that being said, Damian Lillard should obviously be an All-Star. I really want John Morant thrown in there, and I don't know if he's gonna make it. He might not, but I would love to see Ja Morant obviously as an all-star. I think he has, and not only for his play on the court, but his But the way he has completely changed this culture around this Grizz team, and what I mean by that is, you know, we came into the season, all right, we're going to get this top five pick. We're going to pair Anthony Edwards with Ja Morant. And, like, that's gone. Like, we're talking playoffs now. And that's mostly because of him. So I would love to see Ja Morant as an all-star as well. I'm probably missing a few players, but off the top of my head, I think those guys should be locked. As much as I love Alex the Show Caruso, he cannot be an all-star. That would be a slap in the face to the game, a slap in the face to the all-star game itself. And if he actually does get in the all-star game, then we need to question not only the knowledge of NBA fans, which I already do, but we should also question the method of us getting these players into the all-star, because as much as I love him, he is really good when it comes to defense. He's long, he's agile, but he is not the best offensive player, and we've seen this in the past two to three weeks where he just disappears on offense, especially against the Celtics. I mean, he was just really bad against the Celtics. I think he had like three straight turnovers, which completely changed the game for us. So, no, I do not want to see him in an All-Star game. Do not let it happen. Christian, if it happens, I blame you. And with that being said, the Eastern Conference, that's a tough one. You know, obviously Giannis should be the captain. Bradley Beal is I think, is a very underrated player. Does not get enough attention. He should definitely be an All-Star as well. Kemba Walker has surprised me with his play. I think I came into the season thinking Kemba Walker is not going to live up to all that money that they gave him. I think he's doing a pretty good job of it so far, so Kemba Walker should be on there. I wouldn't mind seeing Jason Tatum as well. Jaylen Brown, no. I do not like Jaylen Brown. I don't know why. I despise Jaylen Brown, so not him. But Jason Tatum absolutely is also an all-star. The Celtics should have at least two all-stars from that team. Joel Embiid, no. Ben Simmons, yes. I think Ben Simmons has just random thing, those two players do not work together. There is a piece we have out right now saying that the Sixers should trade Joel Embiid. I completely 1,000% endorse that. Go read it, because those two cannot play together. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because Ben Simmons can't shoot. Whatever. They can't play together. If I'm a Sixers, if I'm Elton Brand, I am keeping Ben Simmons at all costs. But I am absolutely answering phone calls on Joel Embiid. And last one, my pick of the Eastern. Obviously, I didn't pick all of them, just the ones I think better be in there.
Hopefully you did forget him. You just left him off. We don't want Miami Heat fans to be mad at us. But what about Jimmy Butler?
I mean, obviously on record itself, yes. Jimmy Butler is obviously a star. I wouldn't say superstar. Sorry. But he is a star in this league. Not mostly, 30% of it is because of just how he is, his nonchalant, I don't care what you think type comment. But he is obviously a top five two-way player. So yes, for obvious reasons, he is also an all-star. Miami Heat fans, do not kill me. Do not come after me. Yes, Jimmy Butler is an all-star. But none is not Rookie of the Year. I'm sorry, he's 25, 24. He is not a rookie. He's not a rookie in my book. I don't care. Quit telling people that Nunn is the Rookie of the Year. If you go look at the timeline of Miami Heat, it's literally Nunn Rookie of the Year. Nunn Rookie. No, Nunn is not the Rookie of the Year. Does he deserve consideration? Yes, but he's not better than Ja Morant. He's 25. He is not a legit rookie.
Jeans was talking about earlier about the Philadelphia 76ers, whether they should, you know, trade somebody due to the fact that Embiid and Simmons don't work together. You can find that on overtimeheroics.net. It's by one of our contributors in the basketball department, Cole Rains, and the article title is "The Philadelphia 76ers Should Trade Joel Embiid." I'll actually will post it below in the comments on our Twitter page under this episode as well. And I'm here with Darren Jeans, director for basketball department for OTH. And it is sponsored by Raise Energy. Raise Energy. Use promo code OTH1 on our website, overtimeheroics.net, for 30% off of Raise Energy. Raise Energy, intense stadma. Hey, I want to talk about college basketball a little bit. And before I let you go, I want to talk about the brawl that happened the other night between Kansas and Kansas State. Your thoughts on that real quick as we get into college basketball.
Yeah, well, obviously the kid will never play a game for the Jayhawks again. Unlike James Wiseman, he didn't quit. Let that sit there for a second. He didn't quit. He will get kicked off the team for obvious reasons. You can't pick up a chair. It's just simple. If you go back and look at that fight, it started with some random guy in street clothes, and I don't know who he is, but he got his hands on a Kansas player, and from there it just got way out of hand, obviously. And obviously, like I said, you cannot pick up a chair. Whether you like it or not, you are a what they call a student athlete, and so for obvious reasons, you are unable to act like that. And I will say this, you know, it's some people are comparing it to baseball, where, you know, you have baseball brawls happen almost every week in baseball, and it's almost like people applaud that. People love when baseball players get into it. I know I love watching the guy
Jose Bautista
just get mopped on second base. Oh boy, that was beautiful. I loved every second of that. But people are comparing that to saying, oh, you love when it happens here, but you know, in college it's a problem, blah, blah, blah. And I do see that point, but at the same time, they're not professionals. You know, these are, whether we agree with it or not, they are young adults, who are still in school, and they are held to, believe it or not, a higher standard, I think, because, they're not professionals. I fully do not expect him to see another basketball court when it comes to college again. You know, as for his draft stock, obviously that's going to hurt his draft stock. But again, you know, it's all about your skill. If he's good and if he blows people away, don't forget about this. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. If someone thinks you're good, i.e. Antonio Brown, I guarantee you next year he will be on a roster because he's just that good. You know, once he gets cleared, if he gets cleared by the NFL, I promise you someone will sign him. And it's the same thing with him. If he blows people away in these combines and really goes on a massive apology tour, he'll be fine.
Have suspended Sosa indefinitely at this moment. Obviously, there can be an appeal and that can change, but it's highly doubted. I don't see it. If you haven't seen the brawl yet, feel free to hit up our Twitter account at OTHeroics1. We have the brawl on there. And it's pretty impressive. But the thing is, what gets me about the fight, you know, when you talk about in comparison to baseball or things like that, you know, baseball fights, those happen out on the diamond. They happen out on the pitcher's mound. This thing happened, it got into the stands, into the fans.
Yeah.
And so looking at this aspect, I think that's what makes it a lot worse. And obviously the chair, you know, picking a weapon up is not, you know, helping your situation whatsoever.
Yep. Well, as always, a blast with you, Jeans. And I will see you back here next week for our basketball talk on the OTH Daily. Thanks for stopping by once again. In other basketball news, Zion Williamson makes his debut last night against the San Antonio Spurs. The Pelicans do fall to the San Antonio Spurs 121-117, but Zion Williamson did not disappoint. Started off to a very slow start until the fourth quarter, where he scored 17 of his 21 points in a three-minute span. That's correct. A three-minute span, 17 points, and he did finish with 21. He was restricted for sure when it came to minutes, but Zion Williamson definitely looked impressive and is going to be impressive for a very long time as long as he can stay healthy. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch him for the rest of the season. A two-time Super Bowl MVP is hanging it up. Eli Manning is deciding to retire after 16 seasons in the NFL, all with the New York Giants. Eli had a great career, holding almost every passing record in New York Giants team history and a pair of Super Bowl rings. His victories over the New England Patriots after the 2007 and 2011 seasons are some pretty iconic moments for a legendary career. Eli Manning ranks in the top 10 in completions, attempts, passing yards, and touchdown passes. Eli's decision to call it career comes after a season in which Manning spent most of his time as the backup to rookie Daniel Jones. Manning made it clear after the season that being a backup wasn't much fun and there wasn't an interest in returning to that similar role. In his NFL career, Eli Manning has made more than $250 million from his football contracts, the most in NFL history. Most starts by a quarterback for a single franchise, Eli Manning is fourth all-time by a quarterback for a single franchise with 234, only behind Tom Brady, Brett Favre, and Dan Marino. Manning started off strong as a starter for the New York Giants in the beginning of his career, went 69-50 as the starter in his first eight seasons. Unfortunately, it went downhill from there. The Giants went 48-67 with Manning as their starter over his final eight seasons. But to me, that won't put a stain on one of the most unique careers in NFL history. With his two Super Bowl rings, his two Super Bowl MVPs, to me, he belongs in Canton. Congratulations, Eli, on a fantastic career. And that'll do it for the OTH Daily Podcast for January 23rd, 2020. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I hope you guys come back here ready to go tomorrow morning as it'll be our Friday episode. We'll get into it with UFC Raleigh, we'll talk NFL, and we'll talk so much more to get ready to go for our weekend. Until then, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care now.
Thanks for listening. Tune in weekdays right here at the OTH Daily Podcast.